You're the king of these people. Welcome to this edition of the Double Take Broadcast. My name is Randy Vaughn, and alongside my brother Donnie, we're the marketing twins at 1429 Creative. We're going to jump right into the second of a two-part interview with Mike Cope. We're going to talk extensively about social media, since that will be a significant part of Mike's role at Heartbeat. So let's begin. Let's talk about blogging. Mike has been blogging since August of 2003. So let's hear what Mike has to say, particularly about blogging being an extension of community and a continuation of conversation.
You know, there are all these people that I have felt connected with through my ministry of teaching and preaching at Harding and then ACU. And I worked with a magazine called Wineskins for 12 years and the Zoe Ministry, some other things. But it just meant a lot of travel and meeting people. But then there was no way to follow up on that. And I always felt like this kind of body that just showed up and preached and disappeared. So it felt like a good place to let people peek into my life and to see some of my failures and joys. That makes me really happy. And so I just like a lot of blogs. Mine's not unique, but it's been this amalgam of family stories and Little League coaching and guacamole and promotions for Albert Pujols and theological discussions and insider church things. You know, just everything going on. I was, because we were doing this, I pulled up my very first blog. I couldn't remember what it was.
Oh, really?
But it was interesting. My first blog on August 4, 2003 was on, it's called Pensacola Holy Ground. And it was about how we had just returned from our 15th straight year in the same condo in Pensacola Beach. And I talked about how it was holy ground. It had been a sanctuary and an oasis for us through the years and a place where we'd collected shells and eaten grouper and listened to Jimmy Buffett and watched movies and prayed and so on. And that just struck me because here in a few days we're going back to Pensacola. That's still holy ground for us.
As we continue talking to Mike about his blog, one of the fascinating things, if you followed that blog at any length at all, I know Mike was blogging way back when some of us didn't even know what a blog was, and Mike began, as he talked about, a conversation. And one of the fascinating things that Mike talks about is really when the blog took off, really when it became what it is and has been for the last several years, was a meeting place of people from all over, all kinds of backgrounds. And listen to Mike talk about, it wasn't a great speech or a great topic or even a great blog post that brought people together. It really was in the face of a tragic situation that impacted a lot of people. And listen to Mike talk about how that became an extension of the community in which people gathered together around his blog to share feelings and share prayer requests and to build community. So let's hear Mike talk about that.
It was kind of a turn in the blog traffic because of tragedy. You know, our church sent about 100 teenagers to Winterfest. They were in 12 SUVs. You guys, I think, know the story. And
sure.
On the way back, one of the SUVs went tumbling on I-20 and killed the boy sitting next to my son. And then my son was flown to Fort Worth, and several others were injured as well. But we went to the emergency room, and we were right there by where our daughter had died years before, and they were telling us that we needed to fly to Fort Worth, just like we had flown Megan to Fort Worth years before. And so they said, only one of you can get in the plane with him. We only have room for one. Well, it was clear that, you know, my wife was going to pummel me if I even thought about being the one in the plane. She was getting in the plane with her boy. And so I ran home to grab our stuff. I stopped long enough to say, there's been a wreck. Here's what's happened. Would you please pray for my son? And it was an amazing thing that within hours, people were leaving comments from Africa and Asia and all over the world and country, just saying that they were thinking of our church. And in an odd sort of way, that kind of launched the blog to a new place. It was still a bit early on in terms of people reading blogs and knowing even what a blog was, but when people were asking, well, how are the kids at Highland doing? People would point them to PreacherMike.com. And anyway, that just, I guess, increased the traffic and redevoted my my understanding of how the blog, the internet, the social networking can be used to connect people together. Yeah, I remember one time I wrote a blog and just said, you know, you hear my heart on here a lot, but this was after the wreck. I said that every one of you has prayer concerns. Would you today like to leave a prayer concern? And that was amazing to read the things that people left. And then after the big hurricane in New Orleans, people kept coming on my blog, giving updates. And I'm not going to overestimate the value of that blog, but in some ways it became a communication center for some people, and probably especially in Churches of Christ, since that's my tribe.
With Mike moving to a full-time role alongside Landon Saunders at Heartbeat, a lot of people have asked and wondered if there will be a future for Mike in his blogging, because, as you know, the title of his blog is Preacher Mike, and so a lot of people wonder about, will we still be able to go to Mike Cope's blog and be part of that conversation in the community? So let's hear about what Mike says about the future of PreacherMike.com.
What I think will happen is I'll have two blogs. I'll keep going with PreacherMike.com, even though maybe technically now I'm not a preacher. Somebody said take out the P and call it ReachMike.com, but I'll probably just keep PreacherMike.com. People know where to find it. And I'll keep doing a lot of the things I've been doing there. I've already reduced the number of blogs, the number of essays I have each week. Probably I used to do maybe even five a week. Now it's down to two or three, sometimes on a good week, maybe four. But I think I'll also have a blog on heartbeat.org. That website's just about to come up. I mean, it's there. You can see a little video of Landon announcing I'm coming on. But what we're really going to do with it is still a week or two away, heartbeat.org. And when you come on there, it's going to have two directions for people to go, one for those who kind of have a faith heritage and one for those who really don't have much of a faith heritage, and language will be a little different in both. But in both places, there'll be overlaps, you know, just a microsite that's there. But in all of those places, I think I'll have a blog that's just about the topic of what really matters. Landon may or may not, but we may just let him guest write online every once in a while.
Prior to our interview with Mike, we solicited questions. And this question comes in from a friend of ours in Austin. He wants to ask Mike this question. Mike, from someone who has dealt with words and communicated the gospel for so long, what verbal message, whether it's from someone in ministry or even outside of ministry, what message has impacted you the most?
There are a lot of ways to go with that. My life was rattled by interviews with Mother Teresa while she was alive, for sure. You know, as a minister, I've been impacted by other ministers and preachers. My favorite preacher to read is Barbara Brown Taylor. Just everything she writes speaks to my heart. As a college student, Jim Woodruff, I think a lot of people remember the person they heard while they were in college, and for me that was Jim Woodruff. His messages were just focused on Jesus and being Jesus in the world. But there are two sermons that I think of, that I always think of when I think that altered my life. That's what a great sermon is. Both, oddly enough, were given on a Friday night at the Pepperdine Lectureship. I don't remember how many years apart. One by Larry James, who you guys I'm sure know, there in Dallas, director of Central Dallas Ministries. Larry preached a sermon on Matthew 25, and there was just no way to walk away and be the same person after that, as he called us to live for Jesus in the world. And the other was by Leonard Allen, which is funny because at the time I knew Leonard. We probably would have called each other friends, but we weren't deep to the bone friends like we are now. But I heard him speak a message of good news, of gospel, of confession, of so many things. And I'll tell you, all these years later, I remember that hit me in deep places that night. Really handicapped. She could never speak a full sentence except, "I'm Megan." That was her only full sentence, and yet her joy and words lived with me here 15 years almost after her death. My brother and my sister-in-law, many people know the story of Janssen's Gift. If they don't, they can go to jansensgift.com. I think that's the website, and read about that. But their loss of Janssen, my nephew, and the way that they have responded to the needs of the world. And of course, you guys, I mean, you know, visiting back from Benin, you know, the story in Ghana and so on. Outside of my world of influence, I N.T. Wright, just anything he writes. It's not so much his spoken message, but the words. And I absorb N.T. Wright and John Stott, I've loved forever. You know, I could go on and on, but those are some of the people.
Well, it's always fun on interviews with people like Mike to ask the difficult questions, maybe the unusual, unconventional questions. And so this is a question that we wanted to hear from somebody who we knew that would be candid and real with us. We wanted to ask Mike, what is it that he's going to not miss about being Preacher Mike?
I think the thing I will not miss is late-night elders meetings. It's not the elders meetings part, because I've told people a lot of times I ought to have to pay to go to an elders meeting at Highland. They just have blessed me from head to toe. It's not that. It's just I'm not a night person. And that anything that happened after 9:30, my cross, and I always felt like elders meetings should be at 5:30 a.m., that, you know, that would be the prime time. But I think those late night meetings where, you know, at 10:15 we're still trying to think and pray, and I'd be embarrassed for people to know how many times I probably fell asleep during the prayer time at the end of an elders meeting.
Mike was a good sport on answering that question, and it's hard to imagine Mike Cope actually falling asleep at an elders meeting, but hey, you know, we'll give him grace. And we wanted to talk to Mike kind of as we wrapped up the interview about the future. Now, a lot of people look at Mike Cope and they imagine the years and the ministry that he's had in different places around the country or even around the world, who people have been impacted by Mike Cope. And the same thing goes for Landon Saunders as well. And we ask about the future that lies ahead and some of the changes that are going on. And one of the things that I think you'll be encouraged about is to hear Mike talk about, you know, it's not just about ending the ministry. It's like starting something new and doing it by faith and learning to seek God and join God in what he's doing. So let's hear Mike, as he wraps up our interview, let's hear Mike talk about what lies ahead for him.
I guess I'd say a lot is not changing in my life. A lot is staying the same. I've been Highland's minister. Well, I'm still going to be a minister. I'm still going to be at Highland. That's still our home. I'm just not going to be Highland's minister, you know, with a capital M. But I've spent a lot of my life doing things I still believe in, still love. But here's a chance to invest part of my life in reaching way outside the walls and just join Landon in sowing faithfully and trusting that God's going to do beyond what we can ask or imagine.
We appreciate you joining us for these interviews with Mike Cope. Let's continue the conversation on Twitter. Follow Mike at RunMichael, Landon Saunders at YesJoy, Donnie at 1429 Creative, and you can follow me, Randy Vaughn, at Marketing Twins. And certainly let us know if we can help you and your ministry navigate the world of communication and marketing strategies. We want to help you proclaim your passion and share your compassion with the world so that you can go do greater things. For greater things have yet to come, and greater